is Shmini. And the interesting, especially interesting story in the parasha of Shmini is about the death of Nadav Avihu, who were the sons of Aaron HaKohen. And it's their death that we want to investigate, because it's presented in the Torah as something of a mystery. So if you look at the first source, Vayikra Perek Yud, the Pasuk says, Vayichu b'nei Aaron Nadav Avihu, Ish machtato, each one Nadav Avihu took a machta. A machta is like a frying pan. And they call it a censer, I think. In English. I mean, no English. Vayichu b'nei Aaron, Ish machtato, Vayichu b'hen Eish, Vayasimu olav ketoret. There's a sacrifice that smells, a sweet-smelling sacrifice that's called a ketoret, an incense offering, often in English. But it's not so much of an offering as it is a smell. It produces a smell. And then vayakribu lifnei Hashem esh zara, and they sacrificed before Hashem an esh zara. Zara is foreign, a foreign fire. Asher lo tziva ota, which they were not commanded to bring. It was not a mitzvah to bring a ketoret sacrifice at that particular time. Okay, so the pasuk is quite clear. It would seem to be quite clear that the Nadav Avihu transgressed because they did something Zar. And you know that the word Zar appears in the book of Vayikra several times in the following phrase: Hazar Hakarev Yumat. The foreigner who comes close, he will die. Which means that you have to play the Mishkan according to the rules. You can't defy the rules, whatever they are. So you can't go further than you can go. And you can't do what you can't do. You have to do it according to the rules. Hazar, someone who finds himself in the wrong place at the wrong time, yumat, he will die. So that's what it says in the pasuk. Eish zara, asher lo tziva otam. Second pasuk. But they say, Eish b'lifnei Hashem v'tochalatam. So it seems like a straightforward kind of story. They did something wrong and they were punished. They brought an Eish Zara, a foreign fire, a fire that was brought at the wrong time, right? That's an Eish Zara. And the next pasuk says, Vayamutu, with Hashem, God killed them. That's the story. Not much of a story. But it gets more interesting when you look at Rashi. Rashi says what they say, Eish. Rabbi Eliezer quotes the Tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer omer lo meitu b'nei Aharon ela al yedei shoru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. The opinion of Rabbi Eliezer was pretty much in line with what we have said. He just added that Nadav Avihu Horu halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabbeinu Rabban. Means that they didn't go to Moshe Rabbeinu to ask whether this was mutar or not. But they did it in spite of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was right there. And they could have asked him. But they didn't ask him. And so they brought the Eish Zara, the foreign fire, layamutu, and they died. Rashi continues and says, Rabbi Yishmael said that it wasn't so much the timing that was wrong, but they were drunk. Okay? Taydash achar mitatam is here anotarim shelo yikansu shtutei yayin lamikdash. So in the parish of Shmini, after the story of Nadav Avihu, the Torah tells us that you can't go into the Beit HaMikdash, you can't go into the Beit HaMikdash shatui, when you're drunk. Right? Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Moshe El Aaron, Hu Asher Diber Hashem Lemor B'Krovai Ekadesh. Va'al Pnei Kol Ha'adam Ikaved. Vayidom Aaron. Vayidom Aaron. So this Pasuk is the Pasuk that makes everything so difficult. What does the Pasuk say? I mean, until now we said they did an Avera and they're punished for doing the Avera. It seems pretty much a straightforward matter. Right? Vayomer Moshe El Aaron, Hu Asher Diber Hashem Lemor. This is like Moshe is saying to Aaron, this is what was supposed to happen. This had to happen. What had to happen? That Nadab and Avihu did the wrong thing and brought the sacrifice and were killed. Hu Asher Diber Hashem Lemor. This is what God has already said. Bikrovai Ekadesh. With those who are close to me, I will be sanctified. Val Pnei Kol Ha'am Ekaved. On the face of the people, Ekaved. I will be given kavod, honor. Vayidom Aaron. And Aaron stood silently and did not say a word. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, hey Aaron, don't go into mourning, don't be unhappy, this is what had to happen. It had to happen. God already told us that this was going to happen. And Aaron, Vayidom Aaron, he took it. He took it like a man. Didn't say a word. Didn't let out a peep. Now Rashi explains this pasuk, Asher Diber. You see the Rashi? Heichan Diber. So Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, this is what God said. Where did God say it? What is he talking about? So Rashi says, Heichan Diber, V'no'adeti shama levnei Yisrael, V'nikdash b'chvodi, V'no'adeti, is the word vad, a meeting. I will meet there, levnei Yisrael, meaning the Mishkan, will be a meeting place between God and the people of Israel. They'll meet there, V'no'adeti, no'adeti sham, Shama levnei Yisrael, v'nikdash b'chvodi. V'nikdash is to be sanctified. The word for place to be sanctified, it follows special rules, right? Nikdash b'chvodi. Chvodi is my presence, right? The presence of God. Nikdash b'chvodi. Okay, Al Tikrei. So there's this way of drashot. There's this way of drashot that since Hebrew is not vocalized in the text of the Torah, in the Sefer Torah that you read from in Shul on Shabbat, there's no vocalization. So because there's no vocalization, Chazal understood that that's in order to enable you to read the words in different ways. And when you read the words in different ways, you come up with different notions. So here it says, here the drasha is al tikrei bichvodi, ela bimechubadai. Not that the Mishkan will be sanctified with my kavod presence, but the Mishkan will be sacrificed bimechubadi. With those who give me honor. It's as though to say, those who give me honor, especially, they will be sacrificed for my benefit. They'll be sacrificed. Amar lo Moshe l'Aaron. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron at this time, Aaron achi, yodei ha'iti shitkadesh habayit b'miyuda'av shel makom. I knew that something was going to happen, that the place would be sanctified by miyuda'av shel makom, those who know God best, who are very close to God, Vayiti Savur, Obi Obichan. I thought that what that meant was either you would be killed or I would be killed. You know, as like the starting off the high point of Mishkan activity. Achshav ro'eh ani shehem gidolim mimeni u'mimcha. Now I see that they meaning your sons, Nadav v'Avihu, are greater yet than you or I. So this pasuk changes the whole story. It's a different story. When we read the first two psukim, here's Nadav v'Avihu, they bring an Eish Zarah, a foreign fire, that seems to be a transgression, and they are killed. That's the end of the story. Now, there's another story. There's another story long before the Mishkan was actually built, in the book of Shemot, at the end of the book of Shemot, when God was explaining to Moshe Rabbeinu what was going to happen, he said, someone is going to give his life up because of this. He said to Moshe, and who did give up his life for the Mishkan? Nadav v'Avihu. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, I thought it would be you or me, Aaron, that one of us would give up our lives for the Mishkan, so to speak, somehow, whether it's a sacrifice or some other idea. Now I see that it's Nadav v'Avihu. They're the ones who gave up their lives, because they are greater yet than you or I. Greater in sanctity, greater in spirituality, greater in whatever parallel word you might use for all of that, but they are greater before God. They're the ones that God took. God didn't take you, Aaron, didn't take me, Moshe, but took Nadav v'Avihu. So here's Nadav v'Avihu, but never heard of them before, but you've heard that they exist. And that Aaron HaKohen had four sons, and the older sons were Nadav v'Avihu. We've heard all of that, but we haven't heard anything about them to make them this glorious kind of personality that Rashi describes here in this pasuk.
Is Rashi saying that the death of great people sanctifies Mikadesh the Mishkan? I never heard this idea before.
This is not a secret text.
No, but it's like I've never heard that concept, that death in the Kadesh.
I mean, it doesn't sound nice.
You read every day in the newspapers. Were the terrorists killed?
Well, that,
that's exactly
yeah, right. Also, you could say that about soldiers that are killed, that they're holy, they're the best. They're
so
holy.
You're going to distress.
I don't know what this means.
You distress me.
No, I don't know. I don't understand. I'm not saying anything.
Well, I just read the Rashi.
Yeah.
I refuse to accept blame for that.
No, I said Rashi said.
So we can discuss it with Rashi the next time we have a chance. You do remember that God told Abraham to sacrifice his son.
But he didn't
let him. What?
But he didn't let him.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that if God said it, they must have some approval rating. You know, it can't be that God would tell Avram to do something that couldn't be done. So, I mean, the concepts are not always identical. They're not always the same. Anyway, in any event, I just want to look at that pasuk that Rashi quotes. You see that pasuk at the bottom of the page? It says, "Unoadeti shama livnei Yisrael." That's the place where I'll meet with Bnei Yisrael. God says to Moshe, "The place is the Mishkan, v'nikdash bichvodi," which in the pshat means it will be sanctified by my presence. Something that is much more appropriate to the way we think about it. V'nikdash bichvodi. My presence will sanctify the place. But Rashi says, there in Shemot Perikavtet Pasuk Mem Gimur, Rashi says, V'nikdash bichvodi. You see, V'nikdash ha-mishkan bichvodi, the first wide line, She'tishresh chinat libo, that my Shekhinah, the word that describes the presence of God, will be there. Umedrash Agadah. Medrash Agadah means, Rashi says, it's not pshat. It's not pshat in the pasuk, but it's noteworthy. It's worthy of us knowing it. It's not that Rashi doesn't quote fantastic, unacceptable perushim. He only quotes acceptable perushim, usually what he calls pshat. But sometimes he says, here's a Medrash Agadah, I have to tell you this, because it's so important. Now, what's so important? Al tikrei bichvodi. Don't read the word bichvodi. Ella b'mechubadim sheli. Ella b'mechubadim sheli. It's like a slightly different word, but that's what the drasha says. Kan ramaz lo mitat b'nei Aaron b'yom hakamato. Here in Shemot, there's a remez to the death of the sons of Aaron on the day that they put up the Mishkan, right? Aleph Nisan. V'zeu she'amar Moshe, and that is what Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about in our pasuk when he said, "Hu asher diber Hashem lebo b'kovay kadesh ve'echan niber v'nikdash b'chvodi." So Rashi insists at least twice. Rashi insists at least twice that that Nadav and Avihu were predetermined to die on the day that the Mishkan would be built. How would they die? They bring the Esara, bring the Esara, and that Esara, the punishment would be death. It was not just an arbitrary death, but it's death for an Avera. So how was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, I don't mean knew in the sense of knowledge, but I mean, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, none of Avihu, they're definitely going to do that? And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand what was going on at all. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, I thought it was going to be you. I thought it was going to be me. Right? So of course, well, it's not going to be either of them. They don't do anything. It's not that God is going to kill Nadav Avihu for no reason. Nadav Avihu have to bring an Esh Zara. Now, why did they bring an Esh Zara? Why did we? So there's one other thing I want to remind you of. And that is this Perek Kav Dalet in Shmot. At the end of Mishpatim, El Moshe Amar Alei El Hashem Ata V'aron Nadav Avihu v'shivim mizikney Yisrael v'shtachavitem mirachok. So Moshe is told that there's a new group. You, Aaron, Nadav Avihu v'shivim mizikney Yisrael v'shtachavitem mirachok. You bow down from a distance. Now you remember, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bnei Yisrael, come with me. Come with me up to on the mountain. And Bnei Yisrael refused. They said, no, no, you go up. You receive the Torah. And then you'll come down and you'll teach it to us. But we can't go up. We've had enough. One theophany in a day is enough for us. Right? In other words, they were standing at Har Sinai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to them, said, Anochi Hashem Elokecho. Right? At the beginning of the Seret HaDibrot. And so Moshe Rabbeinu said, this is the Torah. This is how it starts. This is how it starts. Because you know that the part of the Torah from Bereishit until Matan Torah, according to Rashi, Bnei Yisrael had already. They knew that Torah. They knew about Abraham, about Yitzchak, about Yaakov, and now they were going to get the rest of the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu invites them to come up on the mountain with him to get the rest of the Torah. They say, no, it was just too nerve-wracking. This, you know, confronting God on Har Sinai. You go. We'll stay at the bottom of the mountain. And when you've finished learning the Torah, you come down and teach it to us. So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, they're staying. But you're going, Alei El Hashem Ata, and then there's a new group that is created. Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, zkeni. They're all going to go together. V'nigash Moshe levado al Hashem, v'hem lo yigashu, v'am lo yaluim. Then they go up a certain way, and then Moshe Rabbeinu continues on his own. So that actually there are three stations of Kabbalat HaTorah, of receiving the Torah. There's the lowest station, that's the Am, and then there's the middle station, that's Aaron, Nadav, Avil, Zkenim, and then there's the upper station, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the top of the mountain alone, that's Pasuk Bet. Pasuk Gimel, Vayavo Moshe v'yisaper la'am et kol divrei Hashem v'et kol ha'mishpatim v'yan kol ha'am kol echad v'yimru kol ha'dva she'edibe Hashem na'aseh. You remember that Moshe Rabbeinu comes and teaches them whatever we had. Et kol ha'mishpatim could be the parasha of Mishpatim, which has a lot of laws in it. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, you know, like, this is the Torah, you have to accept the Torah before I get the Torah. How are they going to accept the Torah before they receive the Torah? Well, they knew part of the Torah already. And Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching them the parasha of Mishpatim. So they would get the idea. They get the idea, and so they said, Na'aseh, kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh. That was their acceptance. Their original acceptance of the Torah was with that word Na'aseh. Then, Pasuk Dalit. Just say that et kol ha-mishpatim. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi says, "What are all the mishpatim? Sheva mitzvot shenichtavu b'nei Noach, v'shabbat, v'kibud avaim, u'parah aduma, v'dinim shenitnu lahem b'marah." You remember in B'shalach, at the end of B'shalach, b'marah, they get to a place called Marah. It says in the pasuk, Shayafet, Sham Samlo Chok Umishpat, Visham Nisau. Maze Chok Umishpat, Maze Sham Samlo. So Rashi tells us always, these are the mitzvot. There are mitzvot that they learned in Bishalach. And then there are more mitzvot that they learned in Mishpatim. So they knew a sizable number of mitzvot already. And Rashi says that that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to. Do you accept the Torah? Kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh. That's what Bnei Yisrael say. Then pasuk dalit, vayichtov Moshe kol diber Hashem, vayashkein baboka v'yivei mizbech tachat ha'ar shtei mesrei matzeva l'shtei masar shiftei Yisrael. The first part of the pasuk, vayichtov Moshe kol diber Hashem. He wrote down everything, Rashi says. You see Rashi pasuk dalit? What did Moshe Rabbeinu write down? Mibreshit v'ad matan Torah v'katav mitzvot shenitztavu b'mara. So what is this? First he taught them all of these mitzvot, and then he wrote it down. Well, when it's written down, it's Torah. That's what Torah is. The inalienable element or aspect of Torah is that it's written down. Whereas Torah Shebal Peh, it's not written down. So, Torah Shebichtav can be copied. Torah Shebal Peh can only be understood. Now, this is what I'm saying is a little confusing because everybody knows that you could have a Shas, you could have Torah Shebal Peh in a book. But that's a default position. Lechatchila, there was Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, and the Torah Shebal Peh. What's the difference between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebal Peh? Torah Shebichtav is inalienable. It doesn't matter if you understand it or not. It doesn't matter if you know it, but it is what it is. You can point at it. Torah Shebal Peh only exists in understanding. There's no such thing as Torah Shebal Peh, because it's Baal Peh. So the Torah Shebal Peh only exists when you could formulate its principles in words. Right, that's Torah Shebal Peh. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu doing in this Pasuk? You see it says, again, Pasuk Vav, Hey, no, Dalet. Vayichtov Moshe et kol divrei Hashem. What did Moshe Rabbeinu write down? He wrote down what he had just taught Bnei Yisrael. What has he taught Bnei Yisrael? The Mitzvot in Marah, and Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, and Mishpatim. right? All of the Torah until Matan Torah. So what did Moshe do right before their eyes? He created Torah Shebichtav. He took Torah Shebal Peh and he created from it Torah Shebichtav. That's what Moshe said. Pretty good. Neat, right? But why did he do that? Because he wanted everybody to know that they were getting Torah Shebichtav. That's what they were going to get at Har Sinai. Even though when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchot, there was very little of it written, but it would ultimately all be written down. That's how the Torah was taught to Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu taught it and wrote it down as he taught it. So the Torah Shebichtav, and the second part of the Pasuk, Vayiven Mizbeach Tachat Ahar, Yisrael. So there's a Mizbeach, Tachat Ahar. The Mizbeach is the essential feature of the Mishkan. Right? In other words, if the Mishkan has like, there are two valences in the Mishkan. There's the Ohel Moed, and the Ohel Moed is God to Bnei Yisrael. Right? God comes down on the tent and teaches the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, who then teaches the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. So Ohel Moed represents God giving to Bnei Yisrael. The Mizbeach, the altar, represents Bnei Yisrael giving to God. Right? Now both of these motions, right, are about a relationship. Every relationship has these two aspects to it. Right? A and B. A gives to B. B gives to A. Otherwise there's no relationship. That's what we call a relationship. What exactly the giving is about may vary from one couple to another. A couple could be a husband and a wife, could be brothers, could be sisters, right? It could be parents and children. But all of that relationship is about giving. So the Mishkan is the place of giving. God gives to Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael give to God. At this time, at this moment, preceding Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu builds a Mizbeach. What is the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach is the giving of Bnei Yisrael, or whoever is at the Mizbeach, giving to God. At the same time, or shortly thereafter, God gives to Bnei Yisrael, gives the Torah. So again, you have a kind of a mini version of the Mishkan, established just when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go up to get the Torah, right? Shtei Mitzvei Matzeivah, the Shtei Mitzvah, Shtei Yisrael, they're all included. Pasuk Hey. Vayishlach et narei b'nei Yisrael v'yalu Moshe v'yalu olot v'yizbichu zvachim shlamim l'Hashem parim. Why there are Shnei Mitzrei Yeladim is a question. But you see that what happens, what had to happen before the Torah was given, in order to establish who the receivers were, they had to perform an act of love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the word love is synonymous with the word giving. That's what love is. I mean, it's a few other things also, but in its essence, it's about giving. So, Vayizbichu Zvachim Shlamim Lashem, right? And they were totally involved. Again, who are we talking about? We're talking about Aaron and Nadav and Avihu and Moshe and the Shivim Zkenim, and now some young people came along, and they represent all of Am Yisrael in these sacrifices. Pasuk Vav, Vayikach Moshe Chatzi Adam, Vayasem Baganot, Chatzi Adam Zarak Al HaMizbeach. Really, a real sacrifice. A real sacrifice. As though Moshe Rabbeinu knew already how to do it. And every sacrifice on the Mizbeach had Zrikat Adam. You spritz the blood of the sacrifice. Vayikach sefer abrit vayikrab azmeya amba yamru kol asher debe Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. And then Moshe Rabbeinu takes the sefer abrit, Rashi, sefer abrit, mibreishit v'ad matan Torah u'misvot shenitztavu b'mara. In this book that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, it was the second time around. The first time around, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? You see Pasuk Gimel? Vayavo Moshe vayisaper la'am et kol devrei Hashem. Ve'kol ha'bishvel. What does vayisaper? Vayisaper mean? Vayisaper is v'al peh. Right? It was the Torah v'al peh that Moshe Rabbeinu taught them at first. And then what did they say? What did all the people of Israel say to that Torah Shabbat? Nazir? A lesser form of acceptance. And then Moshe Rabbeinu turned it into Torah Shabbat, Sefer HaBrit, and he said to them, look here it is. It's permanent. It's never changing. And they said, Naaseh v'nishma. What's the difference between Naaseh? Naaseh v'nishma? Naaseh is about what we know. Naaseh v'nishma is about what we know, but also what we don't know. We know there's a whole Torah that's coming. We don't know exactly what's in it, but we accept it based on the Torah that we know. Based on the Torah that we know. This is everybody has this dilemma, right? Most people, like 99.99999%, don't know everything in the Torah at every moment. And yet they can accept everything in the Torah because they know that the Torah Shebichtav has a limit, and that the Torah Shebaal Peh is the interpretation of the Torah Shebichtav. So you can say Naaseh v'nishma. Everybody can say Naaseh v'nishma. So there you are. Pasuk Chet. Vayikach Moshe et Adam vayizrok al ha'am vayom mehinei dam habrit shakarat Hashem mimechem l'kol ha'dorim ha'elu. This is the blood of the covenant. Right? Pasuk Tet. Okay, you know, like some things I explain more, some things I explain less, but you get it, I think. Pasuk Tet. Vayal Moshe v'Aaron Nadav v'Aviv v'Shivnei Shivim v'Nei Yisrael. And so, Group B, right? Group A is down at the bottom of the mountain. That's all of Am Yisrael. Group B is with the sacrifice, with all this action and activity is going on. So he says, Vayal Moshe. They went up. V'Shivim v'Zikne Yisrael. That's in response to Pasuk Aleph, Vel Moshe Amar Alei Al Hashem Atav Ve'Aron Nadav Ve'Aviyu, and then the last pasuk here on the sheet, pasuk Yud, next to the last, Vayiru Et Elokei Yisrael. How's that? In other words, it worked. It worked. Whatever was supposed to work, whatever the giving produced, whatever the loving did, whatever what happened, here they are. Nadav, Aviyu, Aaron, Moshe, the Shivim Zikne Israel, they all became special. They're in a special space. They couldn't even imagine it. They didn't even know what was going to happen. Vayiru et Elokei Yisrael v'tachat raglav k'masei l'vnata sapir ha'etzel v'shamayim v'tohar. So they saw something. They saw something great, but it doesn't matter to us what they saw. What matters is that they knew it was God. That's what matters. Sometimes you just know. Those you just know, so they all knew. They all knew, and since they were all together, there were a lot of them. There were 70 and 5 and Arim, and they were all there. And now
is this a second theophany?
It could be, but it's a theophany for only a small group, a smaller group.
The first one was
for everybody. Now the last pasuk says, "Alatzilei b'nei Yisrael." No, I'm sorry. The Rashi before that, "Yishiva yechizu et ha'elokim." The three lines from the bottom, "Ayu mistaklim bo b'leiv gas." Mitoch achila u'shtiyah, they looked upon him in a impure kind of attitude, since they were eating and drinking. Kach medrashta, that's what the Tanhuma said. Rogel is lottery game play. Okay, Ungel is translated differently. Atzilei Lishon Gedolim, they are the great ones of Israel. Right? And then he quotes several psukim. Atzilei, like, it's a word that we use for knights.
Nobility.
What?
Nobility?
Yeah, nobility. Knights, the Middle Ages. Atzilim, noble persons. That's what Rashi says. The last pasuk says, "V'latzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado, v'yechezu et ha'elokim v'yochlu v'yishtu." It's a difficult pasuk, but "v'yechezu et ha'elokim" is the important part for me right now. Right, "v'yechezu et ha'elokim," and it's right there. And they didn't die.
Oh,
they didn't die. They saw God. And they didn't die. And so, Nadav Avihu had this experience. They saw God. They gave the sacrifice. They went up on the mountain part of the way. They were special. They weren't like everybody else. They weren't unique, but they were special. B'nai Yisrael were at the bottom of the mountain. The Dav Avihu were halfway up. They were participating in the sacrifices with others, but participating. And they they were the inheritors of the mantle of Kahuna. They were going to be the next generation of Kohanim. And so, in an act of love, the Mishkan is built. And it's Aleph Nisan. It's the day that the Mishkan is going to become operable. Right, for the last week, Moshe takes it down and puts it up. And now it's going to really start. And here's Nadav Avihu, and they say to themselves, what should we do? What should we do? So they said, okay, we're not going to ask anybody. And we're not going to be perfectly clear-headed about it. But after all, we've had this experience before. It's not as though another Vavihu said, we're usurping the position that was created by the Halakha or by the Torah. We're not doing that. We're just looking for the experience to repeat itself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, one of those people, or two of those people, who were giving the sacrifice, who saw God, is going to pay the price of teaching Am Yisrael that there are limits. That it's true. Everybody wants to be with God. I mean, that's what religion is really about. It's not just about following the rules. But we follow the rules in the hope that it will enhance our ability to connect. That's why we do it. And if we thought that breaking the rules would bring us closer, if like this says, I want God to notice me, so I'll eat a treif sandwich, then certainly God will notice me sitting there and eating. No. In other words, the limits are real. They're true limits. So the difference between Har Sinai, and the Mishkan was that the Mishkan had walls around it. And those walls determined where you could go and where you could not go. And the Ohel Moed was an enclosed space. And in that enclosed space it was divided into two, one-third and two-thirds. And the one-third is called Kodesh Kodashim, which only the Kohen Gadol could enter on Yom HaKippurim. And the other space was called Kodesh, which only the Kohen Gadol entered every night in order to fix the candles and the lights and the and what Nadav Avihu said was, we've already been beyond those walls and we want to get there again. Let's go in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, no, the limits are absolute. There are spiritual adventures that you cannot undertake. Because you cannot, I mean, this is a position of Jewish thought or Jewish philosophy throughout the ages. There's no way to divest yourself of your physicality. There's no way that we can divest ourselves of our inappropriateness before God. And the only thing we can do is follow the rules. That's all that we can do. And while there are people, let's say when I was able to understand a little bit about what was going around in the world, like in the 60s, so everybody was saying, well, we could shortcut it. We'll shortcut it the way to God. We'll take this drug and that drug and we'll sit around. Today it's different. People take drugs lishmo. But in those days, in the very beginning, when Timothy Leary was selling LSD, right, to Shlomo Kalbach, I say this with great respect, when he was selling those drugs, he was arguing that you could get an instant, you could cross that bridge instantly. I mean, why work at it? Why invest a lifetime when you could do it in a weekend? It sounds good to me, right? So he did it with LSD, but later on, I mean, you know, why do you have to use chemicals when you could use naturally grown heroin or something? So that Nadav Avihu represent, just as Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way, I mean, we're just not talking about it, but you know, Moshe Rabbeinu asked God to show him his face. In other words, I want to, what's a face? A face is the real you. I mean, if you turn around, you're not sure who that is. It's the face that defines you, that says, I know you, right? I know who you are. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you are. And the bringer of the Torah, you are. And the understander of things, you are. And everything, but my face, you cannot see. You have a limit. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, have a limit. And Nadav Avihu were there. It was as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that somebody would do it. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that somebody would do it. And he said to Aaron, I didn't know who it was, who would do it. I didn't know who would do it. So Nadav Avihu did it, and they taught B'nai Yisrael that lesson. That even Nadav Avihu, even the ones who were up on the mountain, even the ones who sacrificed the sacrifice, even the ones who acted the love of God more intensely than other love directed to God, even even they are not able, were not able, are not able to burst the barrier. Hazar Hakarev Umat. A foreigner can't cross the line. Only a Kohen can go here, only the Kohen Gadol can go there, only at certain times, in certain places. That's what Kadosh means. Kadosh means it's not always accessible. It's not always there for you. Right? Sometimes, but not always. And that was the lesson of Nadav Avihu. Now, a similar idea is expressed in the Hamek Davar, which I'm not going to go through now, but you could try it on Shabbos. Have a